All right. This is one of our favorite songs from VBS, and we invite you to sing it with us.
I get the awesome privilege of sharing with you guys a little bit the week prior to VBS when all our little guys were learning about how Jesus rescues. Ezra, Cindy, and I got to take 25 teens up to youth camp, and we got to learn how what we're built for. And so we're going to share with you some of the great things that happened at camp, and I actually wanted to start with Cindy because she had an experience that I know she wanted to share. And then, can you take this one, Cindy? I won't talk with Cindy. Okay. And Ezra, do you want to talk to Cindy?
Ezra and I are sporting the wonderful shirts from camp. I actually had the idea of wearing a bright yellow sweater to camp so that my kids could find me a little bit easier. Didn't work. Little did I know that I picked the exact color that everyone was wearing that year. So, our camp theme was built for this, talking about what we made in the image of God are and are not built for. And that means a few different things. So the first one is that we are not built to carry things like anger, shame, anxiety, depression, insecurity. Those are things that God didn't make us for. Those are things that weigh us down. But what we are built for is carrying the Holy Spirit. We're not meant to live life without that. The biggest impact to me last week was that the Holy Spirit gives us love. You know, it's the first fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, but the first one is love. Love that we couldn't or wouldn't have for others or ourselves if it weren't for Him. I had 9 girls in my cabin, and by day 2, we were all basically best friends. Any of you who have been to camp know that. It's like, first night, I don't know you. Second night, oh my gosh, it's like I've known you forever. All 9 of the girls who were in my cabin, who I had the opportunity to hang out with all week, they all came from broken homes, all broken in a very similar way. And it broke my heart. I was sitting there with all 9 girls, and we all sit on the top bunk to talk so that we can all see each other. And I told them that I was so sorry that broken homes are normal for their generation, for them. It is unanimous. None of them had, they all had very complicated families and complicated stories, and they had to navigate that. And I couldn't, in good conscience, look at every single girl in the eye and tell them that their parents loved them and had what was, had their best interests at heart. That wasn't true for all of them. But God loves them. And there, 2 days after meeting all these beautiful young ladies, I love them too. Kind of a side story. There's a worship leader who does worship there at camp every year, and she's just this incredible woman of God. She's not only really pretty, but she has this kind, unassuming nature that's just attractive to everyone around her. Everyone agrees she is just the bomb. And during one evening while we were worshiping, a thought popped into my head that maybe if I looked like her, I would be more attractive. Now, let me stop right there and say that my wonderful husband has never given me any indication that he would ever like me better if I were any different. That lie was straight from the enemy. So immediately, the next thought was, that's a lie, that's from the enemy. And I talked to God about it, and I dismissed it with a little bit of difficulty from my mind. And I was very grateful that God gave me that clarity right away in that moment. A few days later, completely unprompted, my loving and gracious niece, Zion, that was her first year as a camper at camp, she came up to me and tapped me on the shoulder, and she told me that the worship leader at camp reminded her of me. I was happy knowing that God loves me the way that I am, and that God gives me love for others, like the love for the girls there at camp. But I was absolutely floored to find out that God had also given other people a love for me. And it's a gift that God intends for all of His children, to know His love not only from Him directly, but also in those around us. And that's how God built us.
One of the things I love about, let me actually start by saying,
We are so, so fortunate that we have a partnership with another church in our community, and working with Hillside has been a blessing to our youth and children's ministries, because when we partner together, Cindy's the youth director over at Hillside, and then Ezra and I lead the youth here at Edgewater, and the partnership has opened up so many resources for our students. And as a church, and I don't mean a church as in Edgewater the church, I mean the church as a whole, what do we want for our students? We want them to experience and know the love of God. And we've been able to partner with this amazing community, another church here that loves students as much as we do. And we're able to facilitate that love in a broader way. And it's really exciting. And one of the markers of a healthy church is that it's growing younger. So that means we're not just kind of all growing old and we're not getting any new people coming in. We are growing younger, both Hillside and Edgewater. We see a lot of young people coming in, and it shows the health, that vitality that Christ provides. And one of the things I loved about Cindy's story is how Zion came to her and kind of told her something that she wasn't expecting but maybe needed to hear, is that the Holy Spirit does not have age boundaries. You know, we are built to carry the Holy Spirit, and it's carried in anybody who invites that Spirit to come live in them. Anybody who accepts Christ, knows Christ, loves Christ, that Holy Spirit is alive and well, and it's not bounded by age. So there are so many things that we can learn from our students, from our children, and we can't just look to people older than us. Sometimes we need to look to people younger than us to see what the Holy Spirit has in store for our future and for right now. And I know Ezra has some. When I'm at camp, I'm not a counselor. I have little kids in my cabin with me, my own little kids, and I get the privilege of serving in the dining area, and I'm doing all the camp photography. So I don't get to interact one-on-one in the deep, deep fashion that they get to, which is incredible to see. So Ezra went back after, he's been at camp since 1989, so Ezra's like the oldest camp, not the oldest camper, but you know, he's been going a long, long time, longer than anyone, even the people who are running the show now. But he stepped out of being a counselor for a long time. He was working the tech at camp, doing graphics, videos, all that kind of stuff. Last year he felt a real call on his heart that he needed to return as a counselor. And this year he did that. He answered that call that God put on him, and he went back as a counselor. So he's gonna share kind of what happened in.
As Karen was saying, my first year at camp, I was entering the sixth grade in 1989, and that was the first year they actually had camp. So earlier, but it was in the years when I was about 13, I was challenged by a speaker at camp to make my faith my own. So before that, I grew up going to Sunday school. I learned the basics in children's ministry. I knew that I wanted to live with Jesus. I wanted to go to heaven where my dad was going. That was my motivation as a 5-year-old, and it was real, just as real as any decision. But it was when I was 13 years old in camp that I was challenged to really assess why I'm following Jesus, and you know, I'm not just doing something for my parents' approval or for the approval of people around me, but because I believe that Jesus died for me, and that God is real, and that this is, you know, truth. And so I made my faith my own as a decision at youth camp, when I looked up to people that were older than me, but not as old as my parents. And so I saw that you can live out your faith in different ways. And that made it alive to me. And I was able to make my faith my own. So, and then it was later when I came back, because I just really loved camp so much, but I aged out. I was like, I want to be a counselor. They look like they're having so much fun, you know, and I can still get to go to camp. And so I went back as a counselor, and it was through being a counselor and connecting with teens later, when I was in my young 20s, that I realized that, you know, this is really the ministry where I feel most alive. And so I did that for many years. I don't know, maybe 5 to 7 years or something like that. And then I got into the tech team and was doing illustration and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't realize how long it had been that I was sitting in the back doing that stuff, until, you know, I'm looking at photos and stuff and seeing, realizing, man, they're having a lot of fun out there, and I'm sitting in this dark room editing video. And the camp director said, yeah, you've been doing this as long as I've been here. I've been here for 10 years. And I thought, whoa, it's been a while. So coming back as a counselor has really been invigorating. It's kind of made things come alive. I was able to connect with guys in my cabin, 11 guys in my cabin. We were a packed cabin. And it was tough the first night when they're all, you know, yelling, and I'm like, I'm never going to go to sleep. Is this going to be how it is? Is this the testing time? We got to bed finally by 1:30 a.m. And by the second and third day, we had kind of gelled with each other. We knew we felt a little bit more comfortable to be vulnerable and talk a little bit about what we learned in the evening sessions. And so it was great. We were connected, and I felt loved, and I felt the love of God, and I felt used by the Holy Spirit in the process. And camp never felt so right as finally coming back to the roots of what makes camp camp. That's why I like that part.
If you are here today, I'm not going to make you say anything, but could you stand up if you were a camper at camp this year? So these teens came up with us. Rides were a problem. Have that on your radar for next year. 25, so maybe half of them are here this morning. Thanks, guys, for being here. Go ahead and have a seat. And we didn't want you to just hear from us, so we asked Kennedy if she would share something that impacted her at camp. So she's here with us this morning, and she's coming up to share her perspective and the things that impacted her.
Hey, everyone. My name is Kennedy, and I went to camp. I've only gone to camp this year and last year, but because I went to camp, I can say with confidence that it has affected my life and the decisions I make. Before I went to camp, I was unsure of my faith and I was unsure of God. I have been raised and am being raised a Christian Catholic, and although I have been taught about God all my life, I never really felt anything, which made me skeptical. And last year, I had signed up very last minute and was very anxious about going to camp because I had never been camping before, I had no close friends going with me, and not to mention, I was not a very involved Christian. I remember the first time last year when I was inside worship, everyone was singing songs and screaming, waving their hands, and I, again, didn't really have any close friends there, so I was for the most part by myself, and I was just standing there and I was like, these people are crazy. But as the week went on, I started to notice doors opening in my heart that I couldn't access before on my own. And as I opened up, I became a lot more comfortable just talking casually to God, like when I was walking to lunch or getting ready in the morning. And after a little while, I started to notice answers appearing in front of me. I just had to know to look for them. And before I knew it, by the end of the week, I was just as crazy as the kids who were screaming during worship. And yeah. This year was a much different experience. I'm gonna start off by saying I'm not particularly shy unless I'm pretty uncomfortable. I have no problem talking to people and I'm pretty comfortable doing it. I just usually don't start the conversation. But I've been really working hard this year to be more sure of God, my faith, and myself. And this year for camp, I pushed a few of my great friends to come with me. The first day, I was one of the kids screaming and jumping and feeling worship, and I noticed a few of my friends feeling and looking at me the same way I looked at everyone else last year. And I was honestly just blessed to watch them go through the same thing that I went through. And since I was more comfortable with myself and God this year, I found myself becoming great friends with amazing people almost instantly. And since I had friends in other teams, I became friends with some of their friends, and it was just a wonderful thing. I think God had acknowledged and understood how much I loved him and have been praying for new amazing relationships after just finishing middle school and having some rough moments, and reminded me at camp that I can do anything through him by giving me the push I needed. At camp, I was very involved with my team. I memorized a lot of scripture. I contributed largely in team challenges and did everything in my power to help be successful, even if it was extremely out of my comfort zone. Even if I had to talk in front of my whole team to present my ideas and literally have everyone judge whether they're cool with it or not. Or even if it meant I had to play football with an octopus. Soon after that, I became to realize that the things that used to make me uncomfortable, I was perfectly fine with doing now. Like giving my ideas and starting conversations with other kids I don't know, and participating in the games I like playing as a competitive person. Except the octopus thing, I don't think I'll ever be comfortable doing that, to be honest.
That's okay.
Leaving camp this year was harder than last year because last year I had made my relationship with God and understood that He is with me wherever I go. But this year I met so many genuine, amazing people from all different places who are all level-headed and strive for a successful life like me. And it felt unfair to leave those people and go back to the ones that I had struggled with, or even more so, completely start over in high school with a batch of completely unpredictable kids. But I had to come to terms with that despite my anxiety and my worry, I just need to listen and trust God and everything will be fine. I really felt God push me this year to do all the things and show me I'm a capable person the more I think of, and I should never doubt myself because He loves me and that's all that matters.
Again, can I get our campers to stand up, our youth group campers? So a lot of these guys aren't comfortable, of course, coming up and talking into a microphone in front of everybody, but most of them will feel very comfortable sharing with you their personal experiences if you ask them one-on-one. So please, before you leave today, talk to one of them, ask them what they experienced at camp and have them share with you because, like I said, the Holy Spirit knows no boundaries, and I want them to be able to share what happened in their hearts and their minds and their experience with God. Because the more they share, I mean, it's a testimony for who God is. So, and we want that. We want that experience for them and for us. So thanks, you guys. You can go ahead and have a seat.
Well, we also have an opportunity this morning to hear some of the ministry updates in our youth and our children's ministries and some of the exciting things that are happening. And we have some kids that are getting older, and so we'll get to hear a little bit of what? Well, they're all getting older, we know that, but Karen and Amy are going to share a little bit more with us this morning.
They're getting older, but
we're
right?
Like I mentioned, it's a great privilege that we're working together in partnership with Hillside, and it's been a great resource for our students, and one of the things that we talk about with our students, one of our kind of mantras that we say, and it has to change with each generation. One of the things we tell them is that our goal is to see them respect the mind, body, and heart of others, to know the time and the place. If you're a parent, you know exactly what that means, and we don't have to elaborate on it. And to cheer for the success of others. Those are the things that we hope and envision for our students. And we want our youth ministry to facilitate those things as well as many others, like experiencing the love of God and sharing together in our human experience and our walking through life, loving each other and receiving and accepting the love of God and the love of others. Because we talk about a lot being loving towards others. One of the things I personally struggle with is not necessarily being loving towards others, but accepting that love and grace in return, or being loving and graceful toward myself. So we want to make sure that we're feeding into a generation of people who know that it's okay to say, hey, I need help with something, or I'm struggling in this area. And just like they talked about, I didn't actually share this with Amy. Yesterday, our kids were swimming together at my brother's house. And little Angie and Brian and all the little Engle kids, they were all swimming together. And I think it was Eden that said, I'm really struggling with my swimming. And Gideon said, remember, Eden, when you're struggling. And then and all of them said it in unison. And it was just this beautiful moment where it's like, I've got to tell Amy. So now seems like a good time to tell you. That, and all of you guys that are working in the children's ministry, the heart that you're pouring into them, they are hearing it, they are learning it, they are growing. And some of these kids, as they grow and graduate from the children's ministries at Hillside and Edgewater, they're coming into the youth ministry. And we can see the time and the love that you're pouring into them. And we hope and pray as youth leaders that the time and love that we're pouring into these young adults will be something that they share with the world and that they feel confident and comfortable owning and knowing, and that they walk with a faith that's their faith and not just on the coattails of their leaders or their parents or family members, that this is something that they are owning and sharing. So, and then I'm going to pass to Amy for her to share.
Thanks for that, Karen. Actually, I forgot to mention earlier too. I was talking to Alana yesterday, asking just kind of what were some of your highlights from camp, and she said the highlight for me was that both of the little girls in my crew gave their hearts to Jesus this week. So that is
awesome.
I know I'm going to get all weepy about that, but that is a beautiful thing, and we should be very glad that that happened. Thank you, Alana, for sharing that with me, so that we could all celebrate together. We have an amazing team of people who are pouring into our kids. And one of the things that I love that we have done intentionally, I kind of talked to Karen when I came on board last year and thought we really want to find a way to continue to build the intergenerational piece of the ministry of Edgewater. And so I think actually every single member of Wired who attends Edgewater is actually also serving in our children's ministry. They actually come, they rotate on a rotating basis, they're in the classroom supporting the teachers, loving on kids. And I think, Angie, can I share what you told me? That one of her highlights this last year was walking in one morning and all the littles, she's in the little group, the pit stop group, came running over with big hugs. And she said, it just felt good to be part of that group and to know that they love me as much as I love them. And that's what we're doing. We're building community, building family that goes beyond just the people that live in your house. So most of our teachers are actually not here today, which is kind of a big surprise. Chantel is here, and Miss Diane is here, and Nina is here, and I think that is all. We have a crew of teachers who also, on a rotating basis, are giving their hearts and souls to teaching our kids who Jesus is and what it means to love and live like him. And so if you are either a youth a kids' zone teacher or helper, crew member, can you just stand where you are? I'm not going to make you say anything. I just want to introduce you. And Barbara. I'm sorry, Barbara. I was looking right at you. Barbara's another one of our teachers. And then we have a couple of other Wired kids who are stepping up into the ranks this year. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for how you minister to our kids. You can have a seat. Oh, and then come see me afterwards because I have a little something for you to say thank you. Just a little token of appreciation. As Karen said, our kids are getting older. We are not, but they are. And one of the things that we like to do is celebrate big moves. We have an exciting problem coming our way, starting in the fall. Opportunity. Challenge. It's an opportunity and a challenge, and I actually am really excited about it. I feel in the depths of my soul, I believe that God is bringing a wave of children and families into our church, and he's been putting it on my heart, and I've been building it into our design in our Kids Zone ministry to be prepared for that growth. It's coming. It's beginning in the fall. We have had two classes with students. In the fall, we are moving into three separate classes because we have too many kids to divide them into two groups. Yay! That's huge. That's amazing. I just want to put a bug in your ear. If you are interested in serving with children, it may be things like cutting stuff out, which Lynette does for me all the time because my thumbs don't work. So Lynette cuts stuff out for me. Or if you want to maybe think about shadowing one of the teachers and seeing what they do, or connecting with one of our youth crew to see what they do on a Sunday morning. I just want to kind of put it out there that we are going to need at least 2 to 3 more teachers and 2 to 3 more youth workers starting in September. It's a need. It's not a desire or a wishful thinking. This is an actual need right now that we have coming up. Only one of them is here today, but we have 4 kids who are moving from our pit stop, which is 0 to TK group. They are moving out. They have aged out of that group. They are heading into kindergarten and or first grade, and they only one of them is here, but I have little notes for all of them. I'll give them to them later. But Gideon, can you come here for a second? Come here. You can bring your shark if you want. You want to bring your shark? What I love about Gideon, he always has a shark or a truck. It's very cool. He has one every week. Gideon is one of our going into kindergarten students. And you've been in pit stop, right? In the back room with Miss Nina and Miss Barbara and Dr. Marcy. Back in that room with PJ. Is that where you go to Kids Zone on Sunday? Yeah, you know, at this age. Gideon, we are super proud of you, and we want to give you a special gift. Can I give you a gift? This has something special for you inside, with a note from Miss Amy, and then something special that your mom can help you know what to do with. but we are very excited because you, in September, are going to be in the groove class. Are you excited?
Yeah.
Not yet. Good job. Thank you, Dave. The other three moving up are Ayla, Adam, and PJ, who are all not here. And then this is bittersweet for me. It was last year, too. When the fifth graders move into sixth grade, they don't just move up to a different class. They actually age out of Kids Zone. So I don't get to teach them anymore. But yeah, and I cried last year when I did this with Angie. We have one student this year who is moving out of fifth grade. She's entering into sixth grade. And while I am sad that she will not be with me every week in Kids Zone, I am incredibly proud of who this young woman is becoming. Zion, would you come on up for a second? Yay. Zion, you are a mighty, mighty woman. And I'm so excited to see what God does in you. This is a little gift from me and from Kids Zone. And Zion's going to step in and she's going to help out with Kids Zone next year too as a crew member. So thankfully I get to keep them all as crew members. See, what it really is, we're not moving them along. I'm finding ways to keep them. So I'm just doing it sneaky-like. I'll have to say that.
So when her students graduate and they come into youth group, I know it's bittersweet for you, but it's all sweet for me because I get really excited. And, you know, we got Angela last year, and she's been such a fun and wonderful addition to youth ministry. And Zion jumped in with both feet. She went to camp as a camper this year, and I'm getting to see her not just as a youth pastor, but as her mom. Seeing her in this different stage in life is incredible and fun and exciting, and I just, all these other kids that you're teaching and growing and pouring into, I look forward to when they come over into youth ministry.
Can't have them yet.
Not yet. I know. We'll wait for the day.
Seeing those camp images always makes me emotional. And for all of you that went to camp this year, camp is where I first gave my life to Jesus. It's where I first heard Jesus speaking into my heart and where I said yes to him. And it changed my life. That's why I'm here today, standing in up here in front, doing something that I don't actually like to do, which is speak publicly. I actually get really nervous doing that, but somehow Jesus has made it all possible. I thought I loved Jesus a lot at camp, but I love him more today than I did then. And I want to offer a prayer for all of our kids who went to camp, all of our kids who participated in VBS, all of our teachers who faithfully give to, yeah, everyone. If you're involved with our youth and children's ministry, I want you to stand up. And I know it's a lot of you. And I want you to come up here. And I'm going to pray for you. And I want you to come on up, everybody, youth and children. I want you to face the church. Let me read these words. These are the words from Matthew 18 when some of the people who were learning from Jesus started to fight about who was the greatest. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus called the little child to him and put the child among them. Then he said to those other adults, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. But if you cause one of these little ones who trusts in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. So for those who are teachers, those who are pouring into the lives of our children and our youth, it is a huge responsibility, and we thank you. Verse 10 says this, beware that you don't look down on any of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels are always in the presence of my heavenly Father. Let me pray for you. God, I am so amazed at the way you work. And I thank you for each child here, each youth who is involved in our Wired youth ministry, each teacher in our Kids Zone, each helper, each person who has willingly given of their time. Some of our teachers gave their whole week during this VBS, both here and at Hillside. And we thank you for all of that efforts. For 2,000 years, the faith that you first shared and brought into this world has been passed on from person to person, from old to young, and often from young to old. We give you thanks for each person. I ask that you bless them mightily. Make them even more aware of your presence than they were when they came in here this morning. For it is in your powerful name, O Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You guys could sit down, and then I will send us on our way. As Amy said, benedict us. Since we took communion today, I also want to make you aware that if you are in need of prayer this morning, I'm going to be back here in the corner over there. If you would like, if you have something going on in your life that you would like specific prayer for, I'll be available and you can see me right after the service. Hear these words from number 6. Actually, let's stand. This is what the Lord told Moses how to bless the people of God when they had gathered with these words. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Church, go in the love of God and with his peace now and forever. Amen. And I'll see you next week. Thank you.